birth until 14. Worship, we get to look at scripture, and then later we're going to go through and have communion, and we're going to hang our ornaments on our Christmas tree. And so it's a great thing that we get to come and we get to do together as a family on the first Sunday in December. And listen, those of you that are joining us online, I want to thank you for joining us online. Whether you are listening now or whether you're listening later on in the podcast or something else, I just want to thank you for choosing to worship with us and being a part of our extended spiritual family. And as always, listen, if you are in Ogle County, I want to personally invite you to come on out 9:30 every Sunday morning, and there's a hot cup of coffee waiting for you. And especially in this ridiculously cold, you know, northern Illinois situation, as I'm driving to church this morning and I hear noises on my car, but I don't see rain happening, and it's some kind of sleet or freeze. I don't know what it was, but it was not fun to listen to because it means it's cold. And that's just my little cold rant for the day. Maybe I'll come back to it later. We'll see. listen, I also want to take a moment to invite everybody to Christmas Eve. Our Christmas Eve services here are always amazing. We get the opportunity to just kind of refocus ourselves and focus on the reason that Christmas exists. And we get to focus on the manger. And we get to focus on who Jesus is, and so it's a great time to come and be a part of that. Listen, it's going to be fantastic, family-friendly service, so kids are going to enjoy being here. Those of you online, we want to welcome you to come and join us. We're going to have our hot chocolate bar is going to be back, and so that's going to be amazing. We're going to have homemade cookies and amazing hot chocolate, as well as like 10,000 marshmallows, maybe 10, I don't know, but there's going to be a lot of marshmallows to put in the hot chocolate. It's going to be great. And so I want to, listen, just come on out, invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite anybody that you can, because here's the thing, this is the kind of the time of year when people are actually open to showing up to something, and Christmas Eve specifically is the type of day that people, whether they normally go to church or not, are kind of interested in doing something with their family. So invite your friends, invite your family, invite your coworkers to come and join us on Christmas Eve. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time. With that being said, coming into Christmas, I should let everybody know, this is, even though I hate the cold, you guys, I don't have to really harp on that too much because you know how evil the cold is, but even though I hate the cold, I love Christmas. Christmas is by far one of my favorite times of the year, only second only to Easter, to the time that we get to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. So I hate the cold, but I love the time of year because we get to worship the Lord. We get to remember that we have the opportunity to worship the Lord in person together, and it's just such an amazing time. And I love the fact that, you know, especially for kids, this really kind of rings true for kids. It's Jesus' birthday. Now, yes, it's not technically the exact day that Jesus was born, but it's the day that as a society, as a culture, we have said this is the day we're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord. We're going to have a birthday party. We're going to have a good time. And every birth, every story, every person that exists has a little bit of a backstory, right? A little bit of a background into kind of who they are, right? And into kind of why they exist. The same is true for Colin, our oldest. He has a backstory. There's a reason Colin exists. I'm going to share just a little bit of that. You see, way back in the late 90s, 99-ish, I think, I moved to Puerto Rico. And I was living there, and I was, you know, enjoying my life. And then there was a situation that happened, well, here's the thing. Beth could not find a good guy in all of the U.S. So she flew to Puerto Rico specifically to find me. Like, that's the whole reason that she came. Now, listen, she will say that the Lord brought her to Puerto Rico to, like, you know, reach the culture and to teach kids. But we all know that the real reason the Lord brought her to Puerto Rico was to meet me. Okay? So anyway, she came down on a mission trip, and we got to know each other. And during that time that she was down there, she was only down there for a week. And that was like in, I don't know, maybe 2000 or 2001, something like that. And we got to know each other. And then we started talking. And we had, when she went back to Indiana and I stayed in Puerto Rico, we were just friends at that time. And we talked, I think, weekly. Is that correct? We talked weekly. We had like a weekly prayer time together, Bible study together. And it was weird because we had only known each other for like 5 days. But then we spent the next year communicating with each other on a weekly basis, to the point that I'm going to just kind of tell myself a little bit. There was one point that the power in my house went out. Okay, you guys are going to laugh at me. Maybe I shouldn't tell this story, but okay, listen. We were in Puerto Rico, and in Puerto Rico, there's, you know, hurricanes and all that kind of stuff. And so the power in the house that I was living in went out. My dad was the pastor of a church. The house was right next to the church. It was basically connected, but it was different power sources, right? And so the power at the house went out. And the way that Beth and I were communicating with each other is we would, you know, this is back in the like early 2000s, okay? This is like the cutting edge day of the internet and instant messaging and chat rooms and all that kind of stuff. And so the way that Beth and I would communicate is we would get on the computer, and this was, listen, those of you that are younger than, like, I don't know, 25, you're going to have no idea, maybe 30, you're going to have no idea. There used to be this really annoying sound that would go, and it was the your computer connecting to the internet, right? So way back in those days, the power in our house went out, and it was the day that I was supposed to talk to Beth. So, as the amazing, just amazing person that I am, I got an extension cord and plugged into the church and ran the extension cord over to my house so that I could plug the computer in so that I could get online and I could chat with Beth. Like, that's how intense that situation. So anyway, I told her, she moved to Puerto Rico to be with me. I just put an extension cord to be with her. So just saying. So anyway, so Beth moves to Puerto Rico. We get married. And then 9 months later, there's Colin. And so there's a little bit of a backstory to kind of why Colin exists. And you know, as you talk to Beth and I, you'll hear different stories. You might hear her version, which is, you know, less truthful. But whenever you talk to somebody, you hear a little bit more of their backstory, right? A little bit more about, you know, who they are, why they are what they are, how they've kind of come to be. And that's important, right? Because the more you get to know someone's backstory, the more you can have a better relationship with them. You can feel more connected with them. And the reality is that everybody has a backstory, even Jesus. Jesus has a backstory, right? The birth of Jesus has a backstory. And these backstories are all important because these backstories are all a part of the journey. It's all a part of the journey, and this is a big deal, right? That's what we're calling this year's Christmas series, The Journey. We're going to look at a little bit of the journey prior to Jesus' birth. Okay, prior to Jesus' birth and some of the prophecies about Jesus' birth. And then we're going to take that journey all the way to the manger. And we're going to, listen, we have our giant manger back here. And so we're going to take our journey all the way to the manger and that manger which ultimately leads to the cross, right? And so that's kind of the focus. That's where we're going this year or this Christmas season. We recently went through the book of Acts. Okay, if you've been around for a couple of weeks, you know we just finished a section of Acts where we looked at the origin of the church. We wanted to kind of see how it all began, how it started, what happened there. We were looking at the origin of the church, the origin of why we do what we do. And so this morning, I want to take a moment and look at the origin of humanity, the origin of everything, the beginning of everything. Listen, I just told you the story about Beth and I and about how kind of, you know, we started and then that led to Colin. So I want to talk to you about a story about when God met humanity. Okay, when God met humanity. And that, so this morning, what we're going to be looking at is in the beginning. These are incredibly important words. In the beginning. The very first words in all of Scripture, in the book of Genesis, the very first page, well, once you get past like the, you know, table of contents, the very first page of the actual Scriptures, in the beginning. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. I'm gonna say some words and you're going to think that I'm like cursing at you or something. Just bear with me. Bereshit bara Elohim. That's the Hebrew words. Bereshit bara Elohim, which means in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. There's something I want to make very clear about this term. This word that's being translated in the beginning, how we see this as in the beginning, is not simply referring to the beginning of something. It's not just, you know, like when we would say, well, the beginning of my story. It's not that. No, the sense of this word, the way that this word is used in this, in the Hebrew here, this is the first of all beginnings. This is the beginning of the beginnings. This is everything. This is the beginning of time. This is the beginning of humanity. This is the beginning of everything that is going to ever happen ever again. You see, God lives outside of time. I don't know if you guys, you know, it's kind of a weird thing, and frankly, we can't always necessarily wrap our heads around the reality of who God is. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, do not overlook this fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. You see, God is outside of time. And that means at the beginning of creation itself, at the beginning of time itself, that's this beginning. This is the beginning of everything. And I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on. I'm going to give you kind of a paraphrase of these first few chapters of Genesis and kind of get us started on our journey this morning. But here's the thing. Listen, I'm going to give you kind of a paraphrase of these first few chapters, but I expect every single person in this room, every single person watching online, to hold me accountable to the Scriptures, which means you have to read it for yourself to make sure that what I'm saying is actually what's in the Scripture. Okay, so I want to encourage you to take some time this week and read through the Scriptures. Read through these first few chapters of Genesis. Understand what's actually happening. So in Genesis, first book of the Bible, God is taking time to create everyone. And in this account, in the book of Genesis, this is amazing. And if you've never seen this, I want to encourage you to go back and read the first three chapters of Genesis and see if you can find this. This is amazing. In this account, in these first few chapters of Genesis, already, we see the personhood of the Trinity itself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We see this happening in Genesis. However, what I want to key in for this moment, what I want to kind of focus in right now, is Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Genesis 1:31. It says, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. You see, at this point, God has created everything. Everything that needed to be created at this point is done. It's created. It's there. Every kind, every type of animal. Now, does that mean every specific animal? No, it means every type of animal is created. Every type of plant. The geography was in place. There are mountains. There are rivers. Everything is there that is going to be there. Everything was made. including Adam and Eve. The very first male and the very first female. These are the two things, the two sexes that God created. The very first male and the very first female. Right here in the beginning of all things, we see that this original design of paradise, we see what it actually looks like. It's good. It's perfect. It's everything. Right here in the beginning of all things, we see that paradise is good. Then something happened, though. See, we don't have to look very far into the story before we can see that there's a wrench that's kind of been thrown into the story. There's something that's happened that's not good for paradise anymore. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field." In other words, more sneaky than any other beast of the field. Any other beast of the field that the Lord has made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Listen, Eve, listen, I know God said some. God's God, he created you, I get it. But did God actually say that you shouldn't eat of any tree? Okay, so here's, we have this wrench in the system. Here we have something that's happened that's going to break everything. This is confusing because God just said everything was good. So what is this? Well, this is clear as mud, right? Everything is good, but then we have this that's clearly not. Well, I'm going to tell you again, and I want you to hold me accountable to Scripture, okay? I want you to read Scripture and you to confirm what I'm saying because it's all in there. And if you have any questions, we can talk about it specifically. But listen, the serpent here, the serpent is Satan. The serpent is being used by Satan, and Satan brings temptation. Satan brings with him temptation. And the reality is that temptation leads to sin. Temptation leads to sin. Now, we know that temptation leads to sin, but here we also know that temptation doesn't cause sin, right? Temptation doesn't cause sin, meaning we can resist temptation through Christ. We can actually come to temptation, come to the face of temptation, and we can resist that temptation through Christ. We can do it. But temptation always leads us to sin. It leads us to the point where we have to make a decision. I'm going to sin, or I'm not going to sin. That's the decision that we have to make. And every single one of us, every single one of us is met with this decision every single day. I'm going to sin in this moment, or I'm not going to sin in this moment. We are tempted. We're brought to the point of having to decide. And in this case, we see that this temptation did, in fact, lead to sin. You see, the serpent was sneaky in the way that he talked, in the way that he communicated with Eve. And the reality is, we don't have their whole conversation, right? Like, the serpent didn't just walk up and say one sentence to Eve. There was a communication going on here. And the serpent was sneaky. And the way he said things, this led Eve and Adam to be faced with the decision. What am I going to do? Because I'm faced with, I know God told me this, but this serpent says this, and it's confusing. Sometimes that temptation is simply confusing. Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to, where am I supposed to go? Like, I'm faced with this, I think God told me this, but this also seems like this might be real. This might be the thing that I'm supposed to do. I'm faced with temptation. It's led Adam and Eve. And listen, this was a decision that they knew was wrong. They knew, because God was very clear in what he said. But in that moment, the serpent, Satan, said things in such a way. Maybe it was a little confusing. Maybe they legitimately, just trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe they were standing there and maybe they thought, okay, well, maybe it's okay if I eat the fruit. I mean, the serpent here makes a pretty good argument. Because the way he said things, because I'm a little bit confused, but here's a problem with that concept. Like you could say, okay, maybe they were confused. Legitimately, maybe they got you know, twisted around in what they knew that they were supposed to do. But here's the problem. You see, they had a very open relationship with God. God literally walked beside them in paradise. They had a very open relationship. So, if they're faced with this moment, they're faced with this question, and maybe they're actually a little bit confused, they could have very easily said, hey, God, could you clarify this for us? It would have taken like 10 seconds for them to say, okay, serpent, just give me a second, serpent. Hey, God, what did you say about that particular, did you say we can't eat that tree? Or did you say it was okay to eat any of the trees? Could you just clarify that for me, God? Because I'm a little bit confused. That's all they had to do. Instead, they listened to the serpent. Now, today, every single one of us in this room, every single person watching online, joining us online, every single one of us are faced with these decisions. Do I sin? Or do I not sin? And maybe, sometimes, maybe, legitimately, maybe we're confused. Maybe there's a particular circumstance, a particular situation, and we're just a little bit confused. Like, what am I supposed to do? We don't have God literally walking in paradise with us, like right beside us holding our hand, right? But we do have something else. We do have this book. This book, in case you don't know, this book is actually made up of 66 different books from different authors spanning many, 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 many years. Yet it all tells the same story. And in this book, every single question can be answered. Literally, there's not a single thing that you're going to face that you cannot find the answer to. Now, listen, I just want to be clear. You're not going to find, like, there's not a passage that says, thou shalt not go 65 on Highway 64, right? We're not going to see that. But we do see the truths of Scripture and how they can apply to every single question that we have. Should I go 65 on Highway 64? Well, the speed limit's 55. And I'm supposed to submit to my governing authorities. Therefore, I should only go 55. The answer is right there. Now, do I choose to ignore it sometimes? I'm just going to be honest with you. Don't stone me later. Yes, I choose to ignore that sometimes. Every single answer is right here. We also have this amazing thing. We have this amazing opportunity where we can literally talk to God anytime we want to. It's called prayer. We can stop at any moment. I'm confused. Am I supposed to take this job at this particular club? And, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Lord, could you clarify for me, Lord? Lord, can you give me wisdom? We heard this morning about a couple that was struggling with something and the Lord gave wisdom and they've chosen to be here this morning. And so we want to thank you. Merle and Sherry, it doesn't mean you have to do it every day, but, you know, the Lord gave them wisdom today. Because we do, in fact, have an open relationship with the Creator of the universe. And so when we're confused, when we're not sure, we can also say, hey, you know what, serpent? Just hang on just a second, serpent. Lord God, could you just give me some wisdom right now? It's literally that easy. We don't always choose to do that. And in this story, Adam and Eve, they did not choose to do that. Right? There is a way to resist temptation, but that way is only through the power of Christ. But they didn't choose to do that. Let's take a look at what happened here. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Let's take a look at this. It says, when the woman, and that's Eve, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Man, that was some good-looking fruit on that tree. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves loincloths. They made themselves clothes because they realized something's wrong here. Something's not right. And it's really interesting to see that this happened immediately. They chose to sin. They purposefully chose to sin, and immediately something changed within them. Something changed inside of Adam and Eve immediately. And they had knowledge. And listen, here's the knowledge. They didn't have the knowledge of the universe that maybe is what they were expecting. They had the knowledge that they alone are not enough. That they alone, as Adam and Eve, aren't enough. So they took these leaves and they created clothing to try to cover up their inadequacy, their loneliness, their fear. And here's the reality. Let's just be honest here for a moment. Just be honest with yourself. That moment that we sin, and we know that when we sin many times, that moment when we're faced with sin, and you say, I'm going to sin anyway. In that moment, you know. You're faced with your sin and you know. You're faced with your inadequacy. You're faced with your nothingness. We're faced with our sin. And then we have a choice to make. We have another choice to make. Will I repent of that sin? Or will I continue to live in that sin? Will I repent and turn and change the way that I'm living? Or will I continue down the path of sin that I've already started? See, for Adam and Eve, they attempted to cover up their sin. That sound familiar to anybody? They attempted to cover up their sin. See, the very next verse, we read about how God came and was walking in the garden, calling out to Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve, they were hiding. Just for a moment, imagine this. They were hiding from the creator of the universe, as if that's even possible. But that's how much they knew that they were inadequate in and of themselves, because they had just sinned. And they didn't even probably, they didn't recognize what this feeling of shame was. They just knew they were inadequate, so they hide. They tried to hide. And they were hiding because when they ate of that tree and they gained their knowledge, instead of gaining some knowledge and some God-like power, which is kind of what the serpent insinuated, right? It's kind of what the serpent led them to believe. That knowledge brought only a sense of inadequacy, fear, and shame. That's what the knowledge brought. That's what they're feeling in this moment. That's what they're experiencing right now. And that is the legacy of sin. Is it not? In your life, just be honest with yourself mentally. Be honest with yourself. Sin has always produced the same sense of inadequacy, fear, and shame in your life, and in my life, and in everyone's life. That's why we try to hide it. That's why we try to cover it up. That's why we get so uncomfortable, and sometimes even angry, if someone confronts us in our sin. If someone walks up to us and says, "Hey, Billy, I don't think you should have done that." And immediately I just feel this gut like, you can't tell me that I sinned because I'm trying to hide that. I'm trying to cover that up. And you just exposed my inadequacy because I'm not enough by myself. That's why we're uncomfortable. Because we don't want to experience that. We want to hide it. Just like Adam and Eve did. We don't want to experience that. But the reality is, listen, this is important. The reality is that sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. Whether we like to think about it or not, whether we like to dwell on this or not, sin has consequences. Are we perfect all the time? Are you perfect? Am I perfect? I'm not perfect. Maybe you are. Maybe we need to learn from you. But your neighbor is not perfect. We're not perfect. Should we all be humbly repentant when we're confronted with sin? We should be. But are we? Do we respond in a way when we are confronted with our own sin? Do we respond in a way that allows us to repent? Or do we respond in a way like Adam and Eve, where they tried to hide it, they tried to cover it up because there is shame and they're faced with their inadequacy? Adam and Eve sinned and something changed. Not just for them, not just for Adam, not just for Eve, but for all of mankind. You see, Adam, being the first man, allowed sin to enter the entire civilization of humankind, the entire race of humankind. Every single person that would ever exist ever again now has sinned because Adam, as the first, brought that into the world. Listen, this is an important concept. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned." Sin has consequences. That's the bottom line. And those consequences, unfortunately, include death. Those consequences, unfortunately, bring us face to face with death, both a physical death as well as a spiritual death. We read that in Romans chapter 6. We read that the wages of sin is death. The price for sin is death. Now, here's the thing. I don't want to end with, "Hey, this is just, you know, doom and gloom and everything's horrible," because there is hope. Things don't look good right now based on these current circumstances. For humanity, this looks horrible, right? But there is hope. This guy failed. Adam failed. And the most important job of all time, he failed. All he had to do was not eat the fruit. That's it. That's all he had to do. But he couldn't just do that one thing. Instead, Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan. And that temptation led to sin, which has consequences. And these consequences are very long-lasting, eternal, in fact. Let's take a moment. Let's take a look at these consequences together. Because there's the eternal consequences, but there's also the immediate consequences. Let's look at this in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 14. It says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you.' And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of tree, which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain, In pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For you were taken from the ground, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Briefly, just real quick, we're almost done here. Let's look at these in reverse order. Let's look at the man. Man, because you did not lead your wife in holiness. I'm going to be very clear about that. Man, because you did not lead your wife in holiness, work will now be hard and painful for the rest of your life, for the rest of eternity. Work is not easy. Woman. Woman, because you listened to the snake, because you listened to the serpent instead of to my words, having babies is going to be really hard and painful. Having babies is not going to be easy for you. Serpent. Serpent, you were the greatest. You were the best. You were the craftiest. You were above everybody else, every other beast of the field. Serpent, you were great. Now, you will crawl on the earth beneath everything and everyone. Also, because you misled Eve, because you purposefully misled Eve, there will always be hostility between you and her. It's going to happen forever. Her offspring will bruise your head, kill you, and you will bruise his heel, harm him. Now, it's been said by some scholars that they believe that the serpent was actually something very different than what we know today. And I'm not going to dive too much into that because there's just a lot of speculation on that. But what we do know is that there was a change because of these consequences. There was a change in reality for every single person or animal that was involved. There was a change. God cursed the animal that Satan used to tempt Eve. God cursed woman for Eve's sin, and God cursed man for Adam's sin. All this happened. We experience, you and I, we experience all of this because there's consequences to sin. Now, while these consequences are annoying, and I know mothers, you would probably say far more than annoying, but while these consequences are annoying, the ultimate consequence, the worst consequence, is the spiritual death. The spiritual separation between God and man. That's the real consequence. That's the ultimate, that's the eternal consequence. And that is why Jesus had to come down. That's why Jesus had to lower himself into humanity. That's why Jesus had to come into this manger, not this manger. You understand what I'm saying? That's why Jesus had to come down and start the journey. And this is the journey that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. We're going to be seeing what does this journey look like. This is the beginning of the story. This is the beginning of all stories. There is no story prior to this story. This is the first step in a journey that will lead us to the manger and ultimately to the cross. This is the first step that will lead you, listener, you here at the church, you online. This is the journey that will lead you to the point of having to make a decision for your own life. Every single one of us have to make a decision. We have all sinned, just like Adam. And the consequences are very real, just like they were for Adam, just like they were for Eve. And the first step is you acknowledging your own sin in front of God. And listen, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you still need to repent of your sin. You still are faced with the weight of your sin and the inadequacy of you to deal with your sin. So you still have to go before God and say, God, I was wrong. I need you. Maybe you've already made that decision. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're listening this morning and you say, Pastor, I've made that decision. I have come face to face with my sin and I've made this decision to trust God with my whole life, with everything that I have. I've made that decision. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're trying to figure out, maybe you're listening right now and you're trying to figure out, is this a decision that I need to make? But maybe you're faced this morning or this afternoon or this evening, whenever you're watching, listening to this, maybe you're faced with the question, I was wondering why I felt so inadequate. I was wondering why I was feeling this conviction in my own life. And I need to come face to face with Jesus and I need to repent of my sin. Maybe that's you. Either way, listen, either way, there will come a day when you are faced with temptation or with the Lord. And you will have to make a decision. Do I sin or do I submit to the Lord? Those are the only options. There's no middle ground. There's no I had good intentions. There's no I've done more good things than bad things. There's sin or there's the Lord. That's it. Those are the only options. And you are going to be faced with the decision and with the consequences of that decision. And then you're going to be faced with the next step of your journey. The next step of you coming to Christ and being more Christ-like and seeking to be holy. Or the next step of you attempting to cover up your inadequacy and your shame and your sin. Those are the only steps we can take. And so this morning, as we close out, I want to ask you this morning that you begin to think about what your next step is. Is your next step one of trusting God, or is your next step one of, I think I can still do it on my own? I want to encourage you to come face to face with that decision and begin over this Christmas season, begin to think about what is my next step? What am I going to do next when I'm faced with sin, when I'm faced with temptation? What am I going to do? For now, I'd like to pray for us. I'd like to pray over us and I'd like to submit to the Lord this morning. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the manger. We thank you for creation. We thank you for everything that you've done in between. Lord, we know that we have to either submit to you or hide from you. Those are our only options. And so, Lord, this morning, I want to ask you that you convict each of us in our own hearts. Whether we have already submitted to you or not, Lord, I ask that you convict each of us in our own hearts of our own sin, of our own inadequacy, so that we can come to you humbly repentant to rely on you for this next step, for the next step in our journey. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are, and I thank you for what you do in our lives on a daily basis. Lord, I thank you for Leaf River Baptist Church. I thank you for Leaf River, Illinois, and for where we are in the U.S. And most of all, Lord, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to the manger and went to the cross. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning,